Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three, four, hip.
All right, you soldiers of Yahweh, this is your wake-up call for the 4th of January 2018, and the title of this sermon is Yahshua's Instructions, Part 2. We will be in the book of Matthew today. I had finished at the end of verse 45 on the last show. I'm going to back up and I'm going to hit verse 44 and 45 again so I can clarify something. This is Yahshua speaking to His taught ones. Okay. Now, the foundation of this is, who did He send His taught ones to? He said, go not except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He did not send them worldwide. He sent them to Israel. Real Israel. Okay? Verse 44 of Matthew chapter 5, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those cursing you, do good to those hating you, and pray for those insulting you and persecuting you. Verse 45. So that you become sons of your Father in the heavens, because He makes His sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Now here's a new verse. For if you love those loving you, what reward have you? Are the tax collectors not doing the same too? Verse 47. And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Are the tax collectors not doing so too? Verse 48. Therefore, be perfect as your Father in the heavens is perfect. All right? He's sending them to Israel. Okay? Love your enemies. Well, don't we have enemies in Israel? Real Israel? Don't we have liberals and libtards that are of our people? But yet we try to witness to them. Do we not? Because maybe, just maybe, a seed will be planted and they will convert later. You have to try, okay? If they continue in their wickedness and their apostasy, that's on them, okay? But you have to give it a shot. So you can't just love your brothers, the ones that you know, okay? You have to love all your racial kinsmen, not just people that are nice to you and receptive to your message. Even the ones that reject you, you must love them and have the same mercy on them because Yahweh had mercy on us. Somebody told us about the glories of Yahshua and his saving grace. We owe it to the rest of Israel to not ignore them. I know he's an Israelite, but man, he's just rotten. He's doing this and doing that. And okay, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? All of us. Preachers, deacons, people that try to appear to be righteous. Every one of us has made mistakes. I was once a different man than I am right now. Okay? Yahshua Messiah has changed my life. Why would I not want that opportunity for another Israelite? So that that other Israelite would have eternal life. Now, non-Israelites, this applies in part to them. You be nice to people. You don't have to be hateful unless they are hateful, horrible people. But those are non-Israelites. And if they act right and they act good and they're decent, treat them decent. You don't have to go around, oh, you're all haters. No, I don't go around just hating everybody. I don't. I hate those that are despicable and do harm to people. I hate their actions. I hate what they do to other people. But even them, if they straighten up, they're not going to have eternal life. I'm not saying that. I'm not a universalist. But if you behave righteously, they may pick up on it. We are going to get into this be perfect as your Father in the heavens is perfect. Follow the example set in the Torah. And what does the Torah teach us? It teaches us on how to deal with people, even non-Israel nations. There's a righteous manner of behavior toward people, whether they are of Israel or not. Because what kind of ambassadors are we going to be for Yahshua and his teachings if we run around just being deliberately hateful all the time? There's a time for love and a time for hate. I got a cough. I'm sorry. Very dry in here. It's 6 degrees this morning. And the air is really dried out just from the cold and the heat in the apartment. And it's got me a little dry. I'm drinking coffee with a little bit of cinnamon in it. And I'm a little dry. We are to try to emulate the law as much as we can, because others will see this. Now, we have enough real enemies and natural enemies in the world, okay? But those that are not hating on us and trying to murder us, if we live in a godly manner, they will see our behavior. Well, I don't agree with his theology, but he sure acts right. He treats people good. At the very worst case scenario, they would leave you alone. But others are going to try to, kill you. Okay, we know this. We're watching our society break down with the rapes and the murders and the shootings and the police violence and the threat of the UN troops here and there. We're in the last days. Okay? We're in the last days. So, what's our job now as Israelites? In the last days, we are to try to witness to as many people as we can, not only with words, but with our behavior. We need to do the teachings, not just say them. And sometimes there's a price to pay for that. Okay? Get into chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 1. Beware of doing your kind deeds before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in the heavens. In other words, don't do it to boast on yourself. Verse 2. Thus, when you do a kind deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, and the congregations and in the streets to be praised by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. Okay. We that preach get a little reward sometimes from our constituents, the congregation. Man, that was a good sermon, Steve. That makes me feel really good that I've touched somebody's heart. But that's not the reason for the sermon. I thank you for the kind words. I do, sincerely. That makes me feel that I'm doing something worthwhile. And everybody needs a little stroke now and then, okay? Yeah, you did good. That was a really good one. A good teaching. And I thank David James and Pastor Dan and Eli and the others. When I listen to EFR. I'm not just a participant. I'm a big fan because I get fed the food that I need, food of the Spirit, because that's what EFR is all about. Okay? And I tell them, man, that really touched me. Thank you. That was a blessing. Because I love my brethren. And I want them to know that I appreciate them opening themselves up to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work through them. That's a blessing to the Israelite people. And I say thank you because I'm sincere about it. I really appreciate it. They're building me up and edifying me on something I might have missed. Now, David James might cover some of the territory I'm covering, or I'm covering some of the territory he's covering. He's working a little bit in the book of Jasher, and I am too on my word for words. But they're a different type of studies, and we both learn from each other. And then we got Greg Howard and his insights on some of the other books that we do on Yahweh's Covenant People. And there are others on other stations that aren't on EFR that really give a good message. And I'll text them and say, hey, thank you. That was really good. I learned something. I mean, how hard is it to say thank you? And let another fella know that you're in support. And I'll hear somebody witnessing to people on the street and giving them the straight scoop, straight gospel. And then when everybody goes away, I'll hang around and say, hey, that was really good. You know, I speak the word also, and I appreciate your efforts for our master, Yahshua. Something kind. And you don't do it out there, and you don't boast of yourself. You boast of Yahweh and Yeshua. Verse 3 of chapter 6. But when you do a kind deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Verse 4. So that your kind deed shall be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall himself reward you openly. Well, what do you mean he'll reward you? Well, he's rewarded me. I can only speak for myself. I've got these two really nice computers to use in the work. I have a warm place to stay in this bitter cold weather. I have food to eat. I've had a health issue, and I have his healing hand on me. How magnificent is that? Yes, he rewards you. Not with $1 million, or you win the lottery, or you do this, or you do that. He's going to give you what you need. Not necessarily what you want, but what you need. He's taking care of us. Most importantly, spiritually, he has blessed me with the Holy Spirit so that I can convey his messages that he gives me to others and help them. He works through me like I'm a hammer or a saw or a screwdriver or something that he's using to build something. Well, we're building his kingdom here. And I look at preachers and those who teach and preach the word as willing workers on Yahweh's construction project of his kingdom. And we're working on a foundation. It's got to have a spiritual foundation before it has the above ground edifice that we're building. He's going to set that edifice on that foundation that we build. New Jerusalem is going to come down. Okay? Kingdom's coming here. We're not going there. Workers, okay? Workers. That's the key to all of it. It's work. Is it drudgery? No. It's a blessing. Because every time I get a chance, like today, to speak the word and to read from the word, it says right in Scripture that Yahweh's word does not go out in vain. Somebody will get a seed planted. Okay? Oh, that's wonderful. Another Israelite joining us in the kingdom, perhaps. Got to plant the seed for it to grow. You just can't keep it in your bag. You got to plant it. And you got to water it. Okay? They don't just spring up. You got to plant them and water them. I mean, yeah, that's a metaphor, an analogy. It's like this. And it's all well and good, but it's true. The main thing, what he's teaching here, is you need to care for others more than you care even for yourself. Yahweh will take care of you, but you need to be loving even to those of your own race that hate you. I know that we got some of the National Socialists and some of the white nationalists look down on CI. Oh, that's Jewishness. No, it's not. We don't teach anything like what the Jews teach. We don't claim to be Jews. We don't go by the Talmud. We don't do the satanic things that they do. We are Israel. And what we're trying to teach here is the difference between Israel, racial Israel, and the mixed race Talmudists that are devilish. And it's very, very hard to get through to some of our fellow whites because they've got it in their brain about the Jews. Well, we're not Jews. We're not trying to be Jewish. That's not what we teach. And if they would read along with us and just listen, they would find that out. And I keep telling them, I'm telling them, the ultimate white nation is the kingdom of Yahweh. Kingdom of Yahweh. Okay? That's white nationalism. Verse 5 of chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the congregations and on the corners of the streets to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. Reward from men. Oh, there. Did you hear so and so and how he prayed? He prayed for 45 minutes. He must be a righteous man. I keep my prayers short and to the point and sincere. And I pray in quiet. Because that's what it says in verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. He has answered prayers. He's doing stuff. I don't pray for me. I thank him for what he's done for me. And I pray for strength to keep on doing his will. I don't pray to him for money. Oh, please let me win the lottery so I can buy a new Cadillac and go around in style. Nah. That's not what it's about. Pray for other people to have mercy and to bless other people. And he will. If it's in his will and it's in his plans for that individual to help them, he will do that. If it's in his plans to do something else, they need to go through something to make them stronger and fitter when they come out of it, then that's what's going to happen. he works in his ways, which are so superior to our ways, you can't compare them. Verse 7. And when praying, do not keep on babbling like the nations, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words. You don't need to keep repeating yourself and just mindlessly go on. Keep it short, to the point, and be sincere. Speak to him like he is your father, because he is. And your father wants to hear from you, just like your earthly father is supposed to. Now, some don't. Some are wicked. If you have a wicked father, doesn't mean the son or daughter needs to be wicked, but some people go through life with rotten parents, and they turn out fine, okay? But not with Yahweh. Yahweh wants to hear from us as his children. Verse 9, this then is the way you should pray. Our Father who is in the heavens, because that's where he is, let your name be set apart. In other words, hallowed be thy name. Well, that's what it's, this is, let your name be set apart, or hallowed, or holy. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Verse 10, let your rain come. Not rain from the sky, drippy, droppy, drippy, droppy. Your rain, your kingdom. Let your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, your will be done here like it is up there where he's at. Because his will is far better than our will. And the way he does things is so much better than the way we do things. Don't let our egos get into it. And think that we can run things so well. What we've run everything into the ground. Look at the mess we're in. Why is that? Because we allowed it to happen. We didn't obey his commands long ago. He warned us. If you don't destroy these people, they will be thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes. Well, we didn't destroy them, and here they are. With all their perversions and their murders and all this stuff, we're suffering today because of disobedience in the past. And who do we have to blame for that? Okay. The guy in the mirror. Our ancestors. And here we are today, and a lot of us are carrying on the misdeeds of our ancestors. We're letting ourselves be duped and lied to because it's easier than following the straight and narrow path. It's easier. We're lazy. And we like stuff. We're obsessed with things as status symbols and just all manners of foolishness. And we have to break away from that. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Wow, you know, that's a double-edged verse. Our daily bread means food, okay, but spiritual bread. Feed us of the spirit as well as the body with food. Two parts to that. You can't just take that and I'd like a loaf of bread. Well, no. Daily bread, spiritual food. And to get that, you need to get into this word. Don't say, oh, it's too complicated, or oh, it's this, or oh, it's that. You need to read the word. You need to study the word. Don't act like it's a burden to you. Oh, man, I don't want to do that. I want to watch a movie. Well, I watch a movie every once in a while just to laugh at it and stupid. But I read this word a lot. Matter of fact, I got online this morning and I ordered a new version of the scriptures. It will be on its way because this thing is so dog-eared and it's an old version of it. So it's so marked up from study that I've ordered a new one. Because the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research is my main reading Bible because they've done so many corrections. Now, my versions of the Torah that I've got out and the other stuff are so massive, they're not something you can carry around. They're big home study books. They're huge, 8.5 by 11, with notes and notes and notes and notes. I mean, just the Torah alone is massive because of all the work I did on it with all the notes and all the references and all that stuff. I mean, I'm working on the prophets now when I get a chance to print stuff out. When I get the entire Old Testament done, it'll probably be a foot thick if you put it all together. But I'll have it broken up into sections. Because there's that much information in there and all the years and studies that I've done and all the notes. And I'm trying to pass that on in case I check out of here, out of this world. I leave that behind for folks. So it's the teachings that were taught by the Holy Spirit to me don't just disappear. There are a lot of people who have got my Torah now. My versions with all my interpretations and the actual Hebrew with all the Strong's numbers for each word. And they just work it over. And I have tons of margins for margin notes. And, you know, it's not a sit on the coffee table, pretty gold-fringed Bible. It's to read and to mark in and to write in your own notes and observations. And that's what I've done with all the versions of the Bible I've got here. I have worked these poor things over. Study to show yourself approved. Well, what does that mean? It means actually study. Take the time and read your Father's Word. And He will bless you because there's stuff in there that's going to bless you and it's going to change your life. Verse 12 of chapter 6, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you don't forgive your debtors, if you're so obsessed with stuff, and you help somebody out and they can't pay you back, so what? It's not your stuff anyway, it's Yahweh's stuff. What is it? It's stuff. And if they don't appreciate what you've done, that's on them. But you did something right by somebody else, even if they're inappreciative. It's your behavior that he's looking at. Okay, don't worry about them so much. Worry about your own. Worry about the guy in the mirror like I have to do. My greatest enemy and my greatest foe and the one that gives me the most trouble in this world is me. I have to be on guard against myself and my own inclinations. And that's what people fail to remember. You know? Who does the sinning in my life? Well, it's me. So I need to stay on top of me. Verse 13, and do not lead us into trial. That means being tried difficult decisions you have to make. But deliver us from the wicked one. Okay, who's the wicked one? Don't we talk about the wicked one here all the time? And his minions? Because yours is the reign and the power and the esteem forever. Amen. Yours, speaking of Yahweh, because it's Yahweh's reign, Yahweh's power, Yahweh's esteem. For if you forgive men their trespasses, in other words, they do you a dirty deed, your heavenly Father shall also forgive you. Because don't we violate Yahweh's laws and break his will? But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither shall your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, what goes around comes around. If you are unforgiving, and you're going to be a hard man and hold people to the grindstone, it's going to happen to you. You're going to get what you give. So somebody does you dirty and does you out of some stuff. Again, it's just stuff. Now, you can go into things with your eyes open and avoid a lot of that. You got to be discerning. Yahweh does not expect us to be fools. You have to be on guard, especially today. But you're going to get taken in by some slick trying to be nice. But you're trying to be nice to somebody, and they'll play you. It happens. It happens. Not a lot if you're aware, but it's going to happen. Verse 16, now fasting. Fasting is important. It cleanses the body. You deny yourself and you fast. And it's a good thing for you. You don't need to fast for 6 months and starve yourself to death. Verse 16. And when you fast, do not be sad-faced like the hypocrites. Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, they're putting on a show. For they disfigure their faces so that they appear to be fasting to men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But only from other men. Oh, look, he must be a righteous man. He's fasting. That's all they get. They don't have reward in heaven for that. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Walk around with a smile on your face. Your Father in heaven knows you're fasting, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. You're not fasting for men. You're not fasting to get something from somebody else. You're fasting for a reason. But to your Father who is in the secret place. That's who you're fasting to. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. You'll get rewards of the Spirit, maybe even physical rewards. This is a relationship between you and Yahweh. It's not between you and men. Here it says, 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That's stuff. You don't worship stuff. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, spiritual treasures that are untouchable. Okay? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. Spiritual treasure. Eternal treasure. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, all your body shall be enlightened. Don't spend your time looking at porn and all that evil, wicked, you know, the eyes are the windows of the soul, okay? Your eye is good. You see good things. You look for good things. Verse 23, but if your eye is evil, this is a Hebrew idiom. A good eye means to be generous, while an evil eye means to be stingy. That's an idiom. If your eye is good, all your body shall be enlightened. So if you help other people and don't try to keep everything for yourself, you're going to be blessed. And if your eye is evil, in other words, I'm not going to give these guys anything. I need it. If you're greedy and all of that. If then the light is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, Yahweh sees inside. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. You can lie to yourself. You can lie to other people. But you can't lie to Yahweh. He sees. What's in your heart? Verse 24. No one is able to serve two masters. For either he shall hate the one and love the other, or else he shall cleave to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Elohim and Mammon. That's stuff. Mammon, stuff. Ooh. Personification of wealth, Mammon. Because what do you have to do to become rich? You got to concentrate on that, and that's all you think of. You have to go after it 24/7. And that takes you away from Yahweh. You're not going to take any stuff with you. Verse 25. Because of this I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than the food, and the body more than the clothing? Oh, this translation is so dead on. I really like this translation. Your life is more than stuff, the accumulation of stuff. How rich you dress. How much you can eat. I have to restrict what I eat. I'm trying to lose weight. I'm losing it. Yahweh's helping me. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the heaven, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into storehouses. Yet your heavenly Father does feed them. They eat. Are you not worth more than they? Are you not worth more than just a bird, a sparrow flying around? That's a brute beast. That's just a little bird. Doesn't have a soul. It's not going to live forever. But we do have a soul, and we will live forever if we do it right. Verse 27. And which of you, by worrying, is able to add one cubit to his life's span? Oh, if I do that, man, I'll live longer and I'll do this. And I'll, well, if you're not living a righteous life, what good is it? Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Note well the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They're very, very beautiful. Verse 29, and I say to you that even Shlomo in all his esteem was not dressed like one of these. King Solomon. When he was on top. Fabulously rich. Verse 30, but if Elohim so clothes the grass of the field, which exists today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more you, O you of little belief? You're so worried about what's in this world that you don't have so much belief in Yahweh, and you're trying to trust in yourself. Doesn't do you any good. No matter how much stuff you accumulate, you're going to have to leave it behind. Verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Why worry about that? Verse 32, for all these the nations seek for. That's the heathen nations, the non-Israel nations. They love their stuff. They worship their stuff because that's all they've got. They don't have what we have. They don't have Yahweh and Yeshua and eternal life. They just have earthly stuff because they're not Israel. Oh man, that's cruel. No, that's Yahweh's law. And we keep trying to put ourselves above Yahweh's law. And we want to be universalist, and we want to include all these people. Yahweh's not including them, and he's the top of the universe, and he makes the rules. Quit trying to elevate ourselves to the level of Yahweh. What foolishness we do, stuff worshipers. Verse 32. For all these the nations seek for, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these. He's going to provide for us. Look what he's done for me. Really, I'll use myself as an example. I don't have a lot of money. I have very little. But what have I got? What have I needed? I've needed computers today to do what I do on EFR because it's service work and he knows I need that and I can't really do it without it. So I have two killer computers and screens and all this other stuff and all the research material. I got all these books. I've got a library that'll knock your socks off and dare your shoes to move. And it's all biblical stuff. I don't have secular books. Just all scriptural stuff. I need that. So he has provided it. Over time, not all at once. But he knew that I needed it. So he has provided it. Verse 33. But seek first the reign of Elohim and his righteousness. You find, and the note here says, find the reign of Elohim by entering through the door Yeshua. And his righteousness. That's Yeshua. Seek Yeshua. That his righteousness is a name for Yeshua. It's an alternative designator. Now, who is Yeshua? That's Yahweh's righteousness. And all these shall be added to you. In other words, you'll get what you need. And sometimes you don't need as much because he wants to test you to make you stronger. The main thing is that we do is not submit to Yahweh's will. We keep trying to insert our will into our own lives. And willing service is what he wants. Well, who's at the top of the pecking order? What rules are there for the universe? Quit trying to be a god. Because you would be a little g god, a divine being, an L. And we are. When we have eternal life and when we're going to make it into the kingdom and we're of his chosen people anyway, if we don't blow it and suffer the second death, we will have eternal life. The others won't. We need to get ourselves right with Yahweh and live a righteous life. And not insert our own will into the situation all the time. Because every time we try to run things, we screw it up. The world wasn't this wicked. But our living in it and the way we have behaved and our rebelliousness has got it all fouled up, and we're in dispersion, and we have been punished, and we're continuing to be punished until he says enough is enough with the wickedness of these Edomite Talmud worshipers, and he's going to destroy them. It says right there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that he's going to destroy all those that don't know Elohim. He's going to with flaming fire. I mean, how much more do we need? That flaming fire business doesn't sound too nice to me. He's going to take vengeance. He's going to have us be his battle action weapons of war. When it's time. Now we need to prepare. First, we need to prepare spiritually. Second, we need to prepare physically, so we are capable. He doesn't expect us to be blind, deaf, and dumb and stupid about it. Yeah, there's a battle coming up, and we need to get ready for that. But we won't prevail unless we're living a righteous life. The righteousness needs to be the righteousness of Yeshua and Yahweh that we put on. That's the armor of God. That righteousness. And we need to get ourselves straight so that we are fit soldiers for His army. That's what Wake Up Call is all about. You, Israelite men and women, soldiers in Yahweh's army. But you need to be fit soldiers. You need to be prepared. You need to have your gear. Your spiritual gear and your physical gear. And if you can't do anything, if you're disabled or whatever, but you have your spiritual gear, you can be a warrior still. And witness to others and tell the others of the glory of Yahweh. And when Yeshua comes back, you will be changed. I know He has changed me. Praise Yahweh. Verse 34. Do not then worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall have its own worries. Each day has enough evil of itself. We see that daily. Prepare your spiritual being. Praise Yahweh and pass the ammunition. Alleluia.